I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language on Radio MD. The headline is simple enough. Quote, FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, moves to restrict hydrocodone pharmaceuticals that could harm patients. Now, that's simple enough, but the backstory, the unintended consequences of such a well-intentioned but, many say, sadly misguided act, will surprise you. And here to give us the rest of the story is Dr. Douglas Hoy, CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association, which represents the interests of more than 23,000 independent community pharmacies who employ in excess of 300,000 people. Dr. Hoy, thanks for joining us today on Body Language.
My pleasure, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Hoy, your organization has said that the Food and Drug Administration's move to reschedule Vicodin and other hydrocodone-containing products from Schedule 3 to Schedule 2 of the Controlled Substances Act is apparently regrettable. Why is that, and what is going on?
Well, let me be very clear that there is a drug abuse problem in our country, and that's no major news flash, and most people are aware of that. And I think most people are aware that the abuse of prescription drugs is on the rise, and it's of epidemic proportions. Our concern with what the FDA is recommending on this rescheduling, so basically bumping drugs like Vicodin or Lortab into a higher category or a category with more stringent requirements, is that there's no evidence that that'll actually solve the problem. We think that the policy really should be centered on solutions that will solve the problem. And the unintended consequence of using this approach is that there are millions of patients who require pain medications. And those patients, their access to the medications they need could be encumbered. It could be affected. And we just think it's a buckshot approach when we really need a scalpel.
Let's talk about this schedule that is employed by the FDA and the DEA. There are essentially five schedules, actually more than that, but five main schedules. Typically, Schedule 1 pharmaceuticals, drugs, fall into the category of opiates, such as codeine, heroin, and morphine. Interestingly enough, marijuana and peyote are also in Schedule 1. I guess the discussion of marijuana is probably a talk for another day. When we move on to Schedule 2, there are also opiates, including amphetamines. However, what is Schedule 3, which is the category we're talking about, that the FDA is considering moving these products from into Schedule 2? What is the primary difference between Schedule 3 and Schedule 2 in terms of access?
Well, the requirements for Schedule 2 drug are much greater than the requirements for Schedule 3. So, simply put, it's easier for the physician to prescribe a Schedule 3 drug than it is a Schedule 2. And I'll give you some for instances. With a Schedule 3 drug, the physician is able to prescribe refills. So the patient can have up to five refills on that medication. On a Schedule 2, the physician is not allowed to prescribe any refills.
What does this mean to the patient, doctor?
Well, it means that the patient either has to go back. Most of the time, it means the patient has to go back to the physician's office because the physician is only allowed to call in emergency supplies of Schedule 2 medications. On the Schedule 3 side, they can call in a refill. So, for example, a patient's taking a Schedule 3 pain-killing medication. The physician knows the patient well, and the patient runs out of refills. The patient can call the doctor's office, and the doctor can call into the pharmacy, please refill, you know, Mrs. Jones or whoever the patient's name is, her Schedule 3 prescription. The doctor cannot do that with a Schedule 2 unless it's an emergency supply. In an emergency situation, that's when the doctor can call in a supply of Schedule 2 medication, Schedule 2 like OxyContin, Percocet, Demerol, morphine. Those are all Schedule 2 type of drugs.
I get the impression from reading your thoughts Dr. Hoy. And by the way, our guest is Dr. Douglas Hoy, CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association. That this action by the FDA to restrict hydrocodone products that could allegedly harm patients actually penalizes, punishes, and in many cases massively inconveniences people, especially in underserved communities who suffer from access and disparities issues. Now, my understanding too, Doctor, is that there are many small community pharmacies, the folks you represent, that will not carry Schedule II meds for fear of burglary, robbery, not only of the store, but of customers who often take public transportation to have their prescriptions filled. Is that the case?
That is sometimes the case, because there has been a sharp increase in the number of pharmacy robberies and burglaries. And certainly some of our members will post on the door, you know, we don't stock a certain drug because they've been burglarized so many times or robbed at gunpoint. And there's also been a number of tragic deaths where people have, you know, robbers have come into pharmacies looking for supplies of drugs and killed people in their quest for these drugs. One of our concerns with rescheduling hydrocodone, which is, you know, a very common popular drug, is that those with, you know, drug habits, drug addictions, will burglarize or rob pharmacies even more. So that pharmacy crime will increase and put pharmacies and the patients that we serve in danger.
So if these products are moved from Schedule 3 to Schedule 2, patients may be forced to try and get a ride or take public transportation not only to their physician's office to renew the prescription, but also to outlying pharmacies in better neighborhoods, which are, well, because these folks are often reluctant or unable to, they are very often less mobile than the general population. I think that's the kindest thing to say, especially if they have cognitive issues like Alzheimer's or dementia, they're blind, obese, or physically impaired. For example, in pain from osteoarthritis, joint pain, which is the reason they probably need pain meds in the first place. So is it fair to characterize one of these issues is that prescriptions will not get filled, or people will try to make do by cutting pills to make them last longer because of the issues surrounding having the prescription refilled? Is my characterization of the problem accurate?
What you're describing is the hassle factor. And so the hassle factor will be much higher, but even greater than that, because even if the hassle factor is high, these patients who are suffering in pain, you know, the hassle, there is almost no threshold for the hassle factor. They'll keep on trying to do it. But the requirements in order to access the medications will be much higher. And our biggest concern, though, is that rescheduling, there's no proof that rescheduling will actually curtail abuse. If there was proof that rescheduling a medication from a Schedule 3 to a Schedule 2 would curtail, stop, decrease prescription drug abuse, we would feel very differently about it, because we want to see prescription drug abuse stopped. That is absolutely imperative. We just don't think this is the right tactic to do it.
Dr. Hoy, how can people learn more about the National Community Pharmacists Association? Perhaps you have a URL that our listeners could use to access your site and learn more about your important work.
Absolutely, yes. Our website is www.ncpanet.org. Again, it's ncpanet.org. We also have a companion site called whorunsmydrugplan.com that is an informational site for patients to learn more about their prescription drug plan and the value of the prescription drug benefit.
Our guest has been Dr. Douglas Hoy, CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association. Dr. Hoy, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.